today on Worst Ever, we have Jodie Sweetin.
Love her.
The actress.
Yes.
The book author.
Mm-hmm.
The motivational speaker.
Tell it.
My friend. My co-star. You will know Jodie Sweetin from Full House. She played Stephanie Tanner. And now Fuller House, still playing Stephanie Tanner. It's amazing. She's had a career actually very similar to Patrick Duffy's.
She's revived.
She's playing one role for a very long time in different incarnations of her life. Jodie is also my co-star and the co-executive producer of Hollywood Darlings, which airs, if you're not watching it, you need to be, April 12th.
On?
Pop. Yes, you have it. It used to be the TV Guide Network, and so just find it. It's not the ticker anymore, guys. There's actually cool stuff, and including our show.
Listen, I love pop.
We love the pop. So she's a blast to work with. She's been a friend of mine for a long time, and I'm so thrilled to be able to talk to her.
I just can't wait to talk to her my damn self.
All right, here we go. The worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best or funny. So, Jodie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, my pleasure.
This is going to be a lot of fun. So, as you know, with this show, we love to talk about and celebrate the worst moments of our life because we feel that...
Because there's so many.
Yeah, and we feel that pain is best served funny. I just want to mention for our listeners right now that we are currently in Jodie's lovely living room and she is wearing a full-on boot. Because
not a cowboy boot, but like the really ugly, you know, Velcro-y kind that you have after surgery.
That's right. So speaking of like worst ever experiences, just quickly for our listeners,
yes.
Jodie has broken her ankle and her tibia.
Yep.
Retrieving a $1 toy for her daughter at her daughter's championship soccer game.
Yeah.
So she's a dedicated mother, not a great fence climber.
No. And you know what the best part was is Zoe looked at me, I think it was yesterday, and she said, "You know, Mommy, there was an opening in the fence right behind where Grammy and Pa were sitting."
Oh, God.
You didn't see
By
it.
The way.
Yeah. And I was like,
"You tell me that now."
Right. She was like, "I didn't tell you earlier because I felt really bad." She goes, "And there were also people on the other side of the fence that totally could have grabbed it. They were standing right there." And I was like, "Yeah. Yeah, I know. Thanks. So
let's just let it go.
Let's
move
just
on.
Let it." Yeah. I was like, "I meant to be in this chair for whatever reason." She was like, "But at least you didn't have to go do that movie and you're home with us for a month now." And I'm like, "Yeah, well, okay, plus, yeah, that's true."
Yeah, yeah. How did you break the news to the producers of the film?
Well, literally, like, I'm laying there screaming on the ground, and one of the first things out of my mouth was like, "No, I can't go do this movie." I was supposed to leave like a day and a half later, and I was like, "I can't do the movie."
Who replaced you?
I don't know. I was just in this weird supersonic, like, pain here. Like, everything became super clear, and I heard it, and I'm like, I hadn't looked down yet, and I'm like, "Oh, this must be really bad." But I knew. I was like, "Yeah, I've like twigs."
Pretty much just fucked myself.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So your Fuller House schedule got pushed 2 weeks.
We had to push that back by 2 weeks.
Because you can't stand on it. You can't put any weight on it.
I can't put any weight on it for another probably 5 weeks.
What?
No walking for another 5 weeks.
And then you have to basically relearn
and
to walk on it.
I have to relearn to walk, yeah.
Worst $1 toy ever.
So can you shower and stuff? Or?
I can shower. I actually, for the first time today, took it in the bathtub. I took the boot off and like put it in water.
Wow.
Which was amazing.
That's
and I've learned to appreciate the little things. So, you know.
You know, it's weird when something traumatic like that happens.
Yeah.
And because I was telling Jodie, I broke my... Remember when I broke my wrist like 5 years ago?
No.
Okay. He doesn't remember anything that happens in my life.
Such an asshole.
But
he's like, "Wait, did it affect me?"
I know it didn't.
Did this,
so
was there something that you couldn't show up for?
No,
that was
it's
me?
Her child that affects me. It's in my way all the time.
Yeah. That's why he's like, "This child, where is she?" Oh, God, she's really getting in the way again.
Oh, just
but
wait.
But it does make you appreciate, A, your body and taking care of it, and B, I do think sometimes it is the weird universe's way of being like, "We've had enough.
Take it easy.
Need to sit in that Barker lounger and just chill the fuck out."
I for whatever reason, I am meant to be sitting right here.
In your Archie Bunker lounger.
Well, also, you learn that if in any other time that you're in a family crisis, you should break a bone.
Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely, yes. When all else fails, just distract.
Just maybe just fall jam and break your
something.
Pinky.
Ah, oh my God, my arm. Yeah.
Just jam your pinky or something. You don't have to go that far.
Yeah.
Well, we want to get into some other fun stories. And I know that there are several that we discussed prior on the phone. But as some of our listeners may or may not know, you had another life outside of acting.
I did. So before I came back and started working on Fuller House again and trying to kind of create my own TV shows and, you know, before we started working on Hollywood Darlings and all this stuff, I worked in drug and alcohol treatment.
So you're not doing that anymore?
No.
Okay. When would she find the time?
Well, I was wondering if she was still like on, like, you know, every other weekend or something, she shows up.
No.
These people need you.
My job was, I was at the last place that I worked, I was a director of operations and I oversaw a staff of about 100 people. And you know, almost 200 clients, and
it's like a real job.
And all, yeah,
not like,
it,
not like
I
what
called
you
it the
do.
Production side because I was basically responsible for making sure that like our houses and day to day life, everything ran smoothly. That clients were getting where they needed to go. That staff was doing what they needed to do. That everyone was trained. That everyone, like all our fire codes were up to, like all of that stuff. So it was quite a bit. But I loved it, and it was really fun. But working in treatment, man, do you see some crazy weird shit. And it was, it was interesting. Should I just dive into one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because you would do the intake of a lot of these.
Well, I would be, when I first started working in treatment, I started working, and I was working for like very little money. It was like, you know, 10, 12 bucks an hour, but I loved what I did. And what my job was, I was a tech basically at a treatment center up in Beverly Hills. And it was like the first 6 months of me working there. And so I would get, you know, kind of having to take care of people that were just coming in, getting them settled, staying with them. Cause a lot of times when people first come into treatment, you know, they come in and like, they've just gone like balls to the wall,
right.
like in the driveway before coming in. So they usually come in quite a state.
I've watched a lot of intervention.
I was going to say, just to get a perspective, are you the person that at intervention at the end of the episode where they walk into the clinic late at night or whatever, or the afternoon or whatever?
Yeah.
You're the person that takes them in.
Yeah. I would help do their intake paperwork and all this kind of stuff. And so that was sort of the scenario that I found myself in this particular story. I was there in the office and our interventionist that worked with us came in with a couple, and it was this guy and this girl, maybe mid-30s or so, and both alcoholics, and they had called and wanted to come into treatment, and an intervention had been done, and he brought them in. Now at this point they were fairly upright and sober-ish. You know, there's a
relative
varying
term.
Degree, but right. They were at least capable of like talking and functioning at this point. So, you know, and I worked at it. It was like one of those weird places. It was like, sure, we'll take a couple and we'll put them in the same room. And I was like, okay, fine, whatever. It's weird. But so I took them to their room. And by the time we got there, it had hit. I don't know what else they'd done.
They were doing sake like bombs in the car,
and drugs,
who knows?
And
yeah.
Alcohol and all kinds. So they were shit faced. Like by the time we got back to their room, they were just falling down drunk. And so I've got this guy and this girl. I'm trying to help him, right? And you know, the girl starts kind of like talking to me. Like, what do you do? What's your? I'm like, I'm just here to make you guys comfortable, make sure that you guys are okay, that no, you know, that you know, you don't die or
hurt yourself,
fall off of anything in the room, I don't know, light something on fire, like just anything bad that could happen, I'm here to try and prevent that. Fine. Well, here, take my clothes, put these away. So I'm like, all right, fine. So just you sit on the bed, just sit. Well, and then her boyfriend starts talking to me. And then he's, you know, and then she's getting kind of a little agitated, right?
Oh, no.
She starts getting a little cranky. And now she can't open her eyes or really form sentences.
Oh,
like,
God.
Now she's just, it's getting worse. And so is he.
The magic brownies have hit.
Whatever they were on had taken effect. And the alcohol and everything. And so, now, this girl also weighed probably 90 pounds soaking wet.
Okay.
But 90 pounds of dead weight, as I came to find out, is actually rather heavy. So they're on the bed and the guy is like, I don't feel so good. I'm like, oh, fuck. Great. All right. So I'm trying to get him sitting up because that's the last thing you need is someone aspirating on their own vomit. Right. Which is awful.
I didn't think about that, but yeah.
So I have him sitting up and kind of towards the edge of the bed with like a trash can in front of him. So he's puking into the trash can. So now the girl is laying back here behind me, passed out. Dude's puking in trash can. All right, everybody's accounted for. So now I'm sitting there and I'm kind of trying to calm him down because he's like, what's wrong with me? You know, he's crying and all this shit. I'm like, it's all right. You're going to be all right. You know, I'm just kind of like petting his back a little bit, trying to
hold your bangs back.
Well, the fucking passed out one wakes up. What are you doing? Why are you touching my boyfriend? I'm like, oh. I'm like, ma'am, look, I'm just trying to like keep him, you know, so that he's like not going to choke on his own vomit. He is fine. I'll take care of him. I said, I don't really think that's a good idea because you don't really seem like you're in a place where you could probably do that right now. So I'm sitting now sort of on the corner of the bed and this guy's next to me and I kind of scoot around like in the middle of the bed trying to talk to her and turn around and he starts puking again. So I'm like leaned over him, right, kind of from behind trying to like get him into the trash can, also not puking on the floor.
Oh, God.
And she comes up from behind me and tries to like get over me, but winds up just falling on top of me, right? So, and this dude's now like just kind of passed out, like off the bed.
Like hunched over.
Kind of hunched over. And I'm like over, and now I've got 90 pounds of drunken woman on my back.
God.
So I'm literally sandwiched in between these two people.
You're on the
I'm
bed.
I'm on the bed, and she fell on top. I'm literally like, hey,
it's like drunken twits.
It's like a weird threesome.
It's a weird right, and she's like, you're being aggressive. I feel threatened by. I'm gonna tell somebody you're threatening me. I was like, I'm so not threatening.
And your boobs are in my neck.
I'm like, I can't even move right now. Actually, so pretty not threatening. She's like, you're trying to take my boyfriend. I'm like, no, I'm really actually not at all. I'm trying to make sure you guys don't die.
Because he's a catch.
Because he, right. Yeah.
Well, he is a catch.
Right. There's a lot here.
What does this guy look like, by the way?
Huh?
What does he look like, by the way?
I don't really remember him. He was sort of nondescript, glasses. Like, apparently, the girl was like a famous violinist.
Oh.
Well, that would make me drink.
I don't know, was some sort of musician as well. And they thought they were going on vacation because then she starts railing at me that this is not Mexico. And I'm like, can you sit back? And now she's like draped on me crying and I'm sandwiched weirdly in between the two of them. I'm like, what the fuck? How is this my life right now?
Oh, God.
And then she is screaming at me about this isn't the Mexico vacation they told me I was going on. I was like,
this
I don't know
sandals.
If anybody told you that they were taking you on a Mexican vacation. But yeah. And like, and I'm pulling out, she's like asking me later to like unpack her stuff. And it was all, she packed like she was going on a Mexican vacation. It was all bathing suits and fucking cover-ups. And so, so then she's laying there and then she starts to pass out and now she's drooling and she peed.
Oh,
so like everywhere. So I'm like, oh. So now and she's out now. Now I've flung her off of me like a dead body. Okay. And she's laying back like on the bed, just sprawled out like a starfish and has peed. Okay.
Oh, God.
So now I'm like, oh, fuck this. I got to fucking change this bitch's clothes. So, and I'm like,
this is really going above and beyond your job description.
No, this is pretty much part of the job description.
Kind of
yeah, exactly.
Normal,
but I mean, doing it for two people at once is a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so I have to call somebody else in because I'm like, I don't want to be stripping this girl naked and have her like come to and think I'm really am threatening
her
at this point.
Yeah, sure.
So I call one of the other females. I'm like, we got to strip her down. And so we had to like peel like this piss soaked dress off of her.
Oh, God.
Peel it off and like, redress her in whatever was the most appropriate thing that wasn't a bikini.
Right, I was going to say, what did she have? A sarong?
Right, pretty much. It was like a just gauzy like dress thing. So I'm like, all right. So I stay in there with him for a few more hours, so my shift is over, and like just ran out of there when I was done. And when I came back to work the next day, I was like, so how's the couple in five? And they were like, oh yeah, they woke up this morning and left because they had no idea why they were here and that they had no recollection of coming to treatment.
Of that.
I'm assuming they headed off to Mexico to their vacation.
Well,
but I was like, I just stood in the office and I was like, okay, so wow. I spent like 5 hours and changed the pee lady and was sandwiched in between them and was verbally assaulted by a drunken woman.
And held his bangs back.
And held his hair back while he puked in a trash can.
Well,
and
who brought him in the first place? Do you remember?
The intervention.
There was an actual interventionist that that brought him. So they went through the whole thing.
Yeah.
They had said they wanted to go, but clearly they were.
But clearly when they got there, they were like,
there were three sheets at that point.
This was not, yeah. That happens all the time. That's actually pretty typical for treatment. Yeah. Like people will come in and then the next day like wake up and be like, yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm fine.
This sounded like a good idea yesterday, but today is not the day.
Yeah. Right. How old are you at this point?
Oh, God, this was, this was like 4 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah,
25,
26.
God.
Not 25, 26. I wish. 30.
Yeah.
Like 29, 30.
Oh, you look young. That's why.
Yeah. I even fooled myself. Apparently, I thought I was 10 years younger than I am.
Wishful thinking.
I was like, oh, it's 25.
Thinking.
No, I'm 35 now. That actually just punched me in the gut a little bit.
It
does. I was like, oh, I'm 30. I literally thought I was 30 right now.
Isn't that awesome?
I was like, I'm 30, so like,
No.
5 years have happened.
How long did you work there?
I worked at that particular place almost 2 years, and then it closed down with a hostile takeover.
What?
From our, I don't know if you've ever been a part of a hostile takeover from one investor to another, but it's an interesting experience. I showed up to work, and there were like big black SUVs blocking the driveway to get in, and security, and we all had notices that we were no longer working there, and like the owner at the time, who was kind of crazy, is definitely crazy. He wound up running up the hill and like being tackled in the office and arrested and like taken off the property for trespassing.
That's the story I want to know. Yeah,
that's crazy.
And then, I was living at one of our places at the time. I was going through the divorce with B's dad, and so I was looking for a place to live. And they had said like, "Look, we have this huge property up off of Wonderland up in Laurel Canyon that used to be an old Air Force base, and." It's like a 55,000 square foot. They used to shoot propaganda films for Cold War and nuclear films and all stuff up there.
Yeah.
And it's still up there. And there's like a huge like a soundstage and all stuff. And that was one of our facilities. But on the bottom level, there was like a huge room with like a little kitchenette and a giant bathroom. And, you know, it's like three beds in it and stuff.
Of?
And they were like, hey, you know, if you want to stay here for a little while till you figure stuff out for free, you can.
Nice.
It's like, awesome. I was there about almost 3 weeks, and we had the hostel takeover, and they were like, you're not allowed back on property. You can't. And I'm like, but I live here. where do I go?
Go
my
now.
Kids were there. Yeah. And so then I had to figure out a place to move within like 10 days.
Oh my God.
And,
it stay a facility?
What happened was, is the new investors took over, and I called them and I was like, here's the deal. I don't give a fuck who I work for. I just need a job because I got kids. So if you guys are starting a new place, fire everybody else, keep me, and I'll get it started. And so that was how I then transitioned into basically running the entire facility for a new place.
So it stayed to be a rehab.
It stayed, but then it eventually, after like another probably about 5 or 6 months, we wound up closing because they weren't willing to do some of the stuff that it took, like, to really invest money in because they had just lost money with the old investors who had kind of screwed them over a lot.
I see.
So they didn't have a lot of money to reinvest. So that I wound up leaving there and going to work somewhere else.
Well, you're a hustler, let me tell you. That's like, that takes guts. Like,
yeah.
Listen, fire everybody else. Keep me.
I said, fire everybody else.
Yeah.
I said, keep me. I said, my loyalty is to my kids. So I don't give a shit who I work for.
I got
to
work.
But if you guys want to open a new treatment center, I know exactly how to do it. And I will be of service. And I did it. And I was up there every day by myself.
Oh my God.
And we were going through like unloading, you know, all three of our facilities got closed down. So I was having to like inventory 4 houses worth of shit and sell things off. And
so these are all privately owned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like more like a upscale?
This particular one was. It was at Elizabeth Taylor's old mansion up on the top of Summit Ridge. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it was her old house. Beautiful home on the top of Summit Ridge, had like a complete 180 degree view of from like downtown to the beach.
Wow.
It was gorgeous.
That's cool.
It's a great place to clean up.
Yeah.
Right.
I went skinny dipping in the pool there too once.
Did you get caught?
No, because nobody was there. I was the only one. It was like midsummer and I was like, fuck it, I'm going swimming.
That's amazing. So wait, I want you to tell the story about merry-go-round, speaking of some of like the worst ever survival jobs, real jobs, we can call them whatever they want, where it was winter, you were wearing flannel jeans.
Oh, where I went.
Wait, flannel jeans?
No, no, no. I was wearing flannels underneath my
underneath
jeans.
Underneath your jeans. Sorry. Okay, I thought they were jeans.
No.
I had
flannels and jogging pants and my jeans. It was winter in New York. Oh, this is a horrible. This is embarrassing.
Well, that's okay. Do you know the show?
No,
this is going to get like, and this might trigger some things in your life because this has happened to everybody. I'm going to just say that.
Happened to me.
I don't know what we're talking about, so I can't say
when I get there,
you're
going to be like, oh, God. So I was just getting off of work at the Empire State Building.
Right.
It was winter. It was really cold and freezing outside.
Okay.
I had Sardo's pizza. Right. Oh, no, not Sardo's.
Sabaro?
Sabaro, thank you.
Oh, Sabaro. Right.
Sabaro, which was next door to
right. And in every airport.
Right, but it was in the Empire State Building and right next door to the shop. So I had that for lunch.
I feel like I know what this is.
Yeah, of course you do. So I was leaving off work and I was like not feeling the subway that day, so I was going to take the bus. Because sometimes it was just getting so repetitive. Sometimes I would switch it off and take the bus home in the Upper West Side rather than take the subway because I have to switch trains and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I'll just take the bus, blah, blah. So I started walking to the bus stop and then I started getting like the gurgles in your stomach, like the really bad gurgles, you know?
And it's New York. It's not like you can just use a restroom.
You can't go
to the bathroom anywhere in New York, I feel like.
It's all retail. There's no...
You got to buy a coffee. Right. Or you got to go into the Marriott Marquis.
I'm thinking I'm going to be okay, but like I'm getting
sweaty.
The goosebumps and the sweaty.
Right.
And it's so cold. I have flannel, jogging pants, and
lots of layers.
My jeans. So I was like, oh, I better just screw it. I'll spend the money. I'll hop in a cab just to get out there. So I'm now at 34th and 5th, and I've got to go to 74th and Broadway. It's in the middle of the afternoon. It's midtown traffic, but I'm not thinking straight because now I'm like getting a warm cab and like just clamp it down.
Clamp it down.
Right.
Start kegeling like you never kegled before.
If you had a cork, you would have been just,
We get to Times Square and I'm literally like, I can't even like sit straight. Like I'm literally grabbing like the handle of the door and squeezing it and I'm shaking and I'm sweating and I'm turning white and I'm like, and I look at the cab driver and I remember when I moved to New York, the first place I stayed before my apartment was ready was the Marriott Marquis.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Which has one of the highest suicide rates in the city.
Well, you're welcome. And
Cause if the design of it, the way it is, you jump and you land up right in the thing.
Oh, in the lobby.
Anyway.
So I remember, I was in Times Square and I saw the Marquis and I knew exactly where the bathroom was because I had stayed there. So that's where I went.
Right.
So I said to the cab driver, I go, you know what? Just drop me off at the Marquis because I have to pick up something anyways. Like I'm making up stories.
Like he fucking cares.
Right. Like he cares, right? But I'm like,
hold on, wait, I need to go kill a hooker at the Marquis. He would have cared.
I felt like I was ruining his cab fare. You know what I mean? So I was like, he's probably pissed and I'm cutting it short.
Right.
I'm like,
oh my God.
Really, you want to go look, dude? I'm either gonna shit in your cab or outside of it. So just let me know what you want.
So, okay, you know that when you're in that kind of predicament, the closer you get to the bathroom, the worse it gets.
Right. It's like when you have to pee really bad. Even when you have to, I gotta go right now.
This is beyond pee, Jody. This is like full on like explosions about to happen. So in the Marriott Marquis, the bathroom is in the lobby, which is
Steven's losing it behind you, by the
way. Which is on the 8th floor.
Oh, my God.
So like the Bonaventure, are you familiar with the Bonaventure Hotel
I'm
here?
I'm familiar with
the elevators are like glass.
Yeah.
So the same with the Marriott Marquis. So I know exactly where I'm going. I know where the fucking bathroom is. I'm going to make it. I get into the elevator with like four people and I'm like 8th floor. And literally the closer I get up to the 8th floor, it starts coming out. Like it's out. It's not.
Oh no,
It just did not. It was not happening. So I'm now walking. Just picture me like because I had so many layers on.
It's absorbing.
It wasn't like dripping out. It was like, it's just, but you, I mean, it was like a sack in my, it was like,
oh God.
It was disgusting.
So gross.
I'm going to vomit. So wait. So,
oh
okay.
My God.
So now I'm like walking like I'm bow-legged, like I'm like waddling right? to the bathroom, right? But I'm like, okay. And I get to the toilet, and now as soon as I take the pants down, like the smell has released, right? Because now I've opened that vault, right? It's disgusting.
Oh my
so
God.
I get in the bathroom, I get in the stall, I'm like, what the fuck am I gonna do? What the fuck? So I start stripping down, right? Now my jeans have not been affected because of
right,
because so
you got
many
so many layers.
Layers.
Right, thank God.
Thank God.
But getting the other layers off so and getting those done
and
unscathed.
And I have shit all over my legs. Like,
oh,
I mean, it's
my
like
God.
I'm pulling toilet paper and toilet and just wiping and wiping and wiping, and I'm balling up my clothes, and I'm like, what the fuck am I gonna do with this? So I waited. I just sat in there until I knew it was silent.
Right.
Like no one was coming in. And as soon as like the last person left before someone else came in, because remember, it's a lobby of a hotel.
Right.
I literally grabbed my pants and stuff, put them on, and just I was holding on to this ball of clothes waiting to escape.
Right.
Threw them in the trash. Didn't even wash my hands or anything. Just like I just had to get out.
Why do I find that sort
That's
of
like
the most
the worst
horrific
part,
part
of the story?
No, no, no. Hold on. So I get out. And then what I do is I go downstairs to the
lobby.
No, now I'm in the lobby. I'm going downstairs to the parking, you know, the driveway and stuff. And I go to whatever, I can't remember what the hotel is. I want to say it was like the Broadway or something.
Right.
And I go to that bathroom and just like wash my hands and clean up so it doesn't look, you know what I mean? So
right.
I'm like washing. Now I'm doing a second, like I'm taking right. wet paper towels, and I'm like now going in the stall and clean myself, and then I go back to my
because wait, can I just go back to this yeah. for a second? Why did you decide to do this as a two-layered process? Why could you not have just, you were right there, like why wouldn't
because
you
because I needed to get because
he needed to get
towels,
away from the shit clothes
and
that he disposed
from the shit
of
okay the
so
like,
that nobody
it's
knew
like
it was
now,
him
like it,
it's now he's trying to
it's
right.
the whole
so if
thing.
Someone came in and they were like oh
and
that's
you. It's you
they'll be like
right.
what the hell happened, you know, it's,
yeah,
it was
right.
a thing I
and you're
just
like Sbarro
that's yeah
right you're like yeah
I'm like
and they would just go
I'm like a slice of cheese and a slice of pepperoni
that's been sitting under a heat lamp for 14 hours
that's got grease, that's exactly what it was. Mind you.
I gotta say though, I've never had this.
You've never shit your pants?
No. I had this argument with my fiance who was like, no, everybody has at some point. God, I'm like, no, dude. Like, I drove.
That is.
I had food poisoning once and I was dating somebody and we got back and I was staying over there and I all of a sudden, and it was like the first like 3 months, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, I don't feel good. And like, he was asleep, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go in the bathroom. And I'm like, I go in, and I'm like, no, this is gonna be all bad. Like, I feel like I'm gonna puke and shit. Like, it's all bad. So I was like, I'm gonna go home, but like, full on gurgles, everything. And I lived in like at Sunset and Laurel, and like this person lived in Venice.
That's
so I
a
drove
long way, everyone.
All the way from there home,
just so you
like
could
that,
go to,
and made it in the house. And then I was then I was in my own bathroom.
You
okay,
have a constitution
but that's,
like
never,
a steel trap.
I do.
I can't. This has happened to me. Well, this happened to me in high school in Orlando with Wayne Brady.
The
you
same
shit your
thing?
Pants with
yes.
Wayne Brady
in a Marriott.
Wait! You shit your pants.
No.
How are we not
with
leading
Wayne
with
Brady?
What happened was is Wayne Brady and I went to the same high school together, right? So we were in a performing jazz.
But you shit your pants. So in Florida.
In Florida, no, on a bus. Start, on a bus. Okay. On a
in
bus.
Florida, on a bus. You shit your pants.
These are all the elements that
wait,
now they're
so
all
so we
just
went to
back.
Daytona. To, we were in the
don't
same.
Don't put your feet on the couch.
Oh, sorry. We were on the same. Sorry.
Getting we were, too comfortable.
We were in a choir together, and we went to go perform in Daytona Beach. And so the school took us on a bus. And
right.
We were busing back. We had a dance that night called the Howdy Dance. We have it every year at Dr. Phillips High School. Right?
it's layer upon layer. Of just no, ridiculousness.
Kind
good.
Of like his old jeans.
Kind of like the jeans and the flannels and the jog. Right. It's just.
So we're coming back on the bus. It's an hour bus ride. And I'm like, I look at Wayne and I go, I gotta go to the bathroom. He's like, what? And I go, I gotta go to the bathroom. I go, open the window. I'm like dying. I'm like hot. I was like sweating. So I make it to the school, and because it's after hours and
everything's closed.
Closed, but there's a dance that's supposed to be happening that night. So I knew there were people in there. So I'm literally, the school is built like with walls around it and the doors.
As you know, most buildings are, right?
Yes. Take it easy. I didn't know you went to public school, girl.
I did. Okay. I did.
All right.
Thank you very much.
So then I'm like,
and we have walls.
I'm knocking on the door, like, let me in, you know, let me in, you know. And so the wall of the outside thing, I look at Wayne and my friend David Nichol. I said,
boost me up.
Boost me up. I got to hop over. I got to get to the bathroom.
Oh, God. Oh, jumping a fence.
Oh no.
Trigger.
It was too tall. Exactly. It comes back to the fence. It was too tall. I couldn't get over it. So I was like running around to the other side where I knew the entrance would be open. By the time I ran to the other side, I had shit my pants, right?
And are you in like a choir uniform?
No, I'm in like a tuxedo, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
A rented tuxedo.
Well, the provided by the school.
Uh-huh.
Right. So
someone to this day is still wearing that tuxedo.
Yeah. Yeah. That those little polyester pants.
So right? I get there. I'm like, so I can't go in. So I like run to like, we have this like marsh area. By the way, the school's like right across from Universal Studios. And it's like, so there's like a whole thing. So I call my dad because I wasn't driving yet. I was like 15.
Right.
So I was like, you got to come get me. He's like, what happened? I go,
I shit
my pants. He's like, what are you talking about? I go, I shit my pants. Come get me. He's like, I'm coming now. And he's got to come from the mall, right, to come get me, took me home. And I was like, just wait for me because I want to go to the dance after. And
what?
I went back to the dance.
So what'd you do, change pants?
I changed my whole shower, changed, freshened up.
And then he brought me back. Oh, my God. Did Wayne and David Nichol tell
anyone? I shot my pants because I ran away from them. Okay. And that's when it happened. It was a running shit. I can't believe that you've never shot your pants.
Well,
he was a running shit.
How about when you gave birth? Did you?
Oh,
I had 2 C-sections.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Because it happens. Well,
and I was all with my first two, with my first as well. I had was in labor for almost 2 days before I even got to the emergency C-section part. So I went in there hungry. So I had nothing in my system anyway.
Oh, no.
Yes, like, they won't after, let you right. eat
I had
if they know.
Like, yeah, I was cat food commercials were looking really good towards the end of like me being in labor.
Well, my story, which I touched on very briefly in our cold open of our episode.
Right.
I was doing a pilot for Comedy Central. And in the scene that morning, they had had me, I was at some party and they had me drinking champagne.
Right.
And, you know, when they have you do this like on camera, obviously it's not real champagne. It's usually Martinelli's or some right. kind of sparkling cider. So anyway, sidebar, I also had an audition that afternoon. I was testing for an FX show.
Right.
And they had worked it out to where they would shoot my scene in the morning. Over my lunch break, I could go. They were going to let me go to this test, and mm-hmm. then I could come back and finish up the day. Perfect. So this producer's assistant was going to drive me and just drop me off so I wouldn't have to park. It would just be easier, blah, blah, blah. Great. So all morning I'm filming the scene, and I had made this like acting decision that during the scene, my character's so annoyed that she just downs the rest of the champagne in her glass and walks away. We ended up shooting it from like 5 different angles. So I probably drank 2.5 bottles of Martinelli's.
Right.
Before 11 a.m. And I had had coffee and I think probably like half a Starbucks sandwich
or something.
Yeah,
but apple juice and cider, that triggers
this is
it.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
So apple juice is a diuretic. Okay. Yeah. No, this is a thing. So apple juice is a diuretic. I didn't think twice about it. Okay. I now put on my other outfit, which was a white jean skirt and polo shirt because I had to be working at like a TGI
Cheesecake
Fridays.
Factory.
Yeah. Right. And I go on to do my test. So it's lunchtime. I just finished the scene, 2.5 bottles of Martinelli's. The assistant drives me to the gate of Radford and I get out to, and I'm like, wait, something's coming. Mm-hmm. Yes, my ID, sure. And I'm giving the guy my ID and I can feel things happening. Like the gurgle. It's not even, and it wasn't like I felt sick. It was just like, oh no. Like it's time. Like we're going to the bathroom now. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm wearing a thong and I'm wearing a white jean skirt Like, there's nothing good about
there's any of this. Right.
I'm like, where is the closest restroom? I'm trying to say as calmly as possible. And he points me over, like, you know, in like maybe 50 yards away.
Right.
And I am now in my, like, you know, wedge cork shoes, just like tiptoeing over to this bathroom, like, as quickly as possible without looking obvious. I get into the restroom. Thankfully, nothing is on the skirt, but there is indeed, like, the underwear is unsalvageable. So I, yeah, I end up doing what I need to do. It's fine now, but there's no underwear. There's no more barriers. Like, we're done. We're commando. I can't go get anything because the test is in 5 minutes.
Right.
So now I have to walk into this producer's, who, I mean, he's like, posters of Two and a Half Men everywhere. Like, this is not somebody that you want to be shitting in their office. There's a white leather couch.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. How short is your skirt?
I mean, it's a mini skirt. I mean, my butt isn't on the couch.
Right, I get it. It's not like it's a fitted skirt.
It's a fitted skirt. And now I'm still having the gurgles, but you're not really sure, like, what's going to come out. So I keep going to the bathroom just to, like,
just
be
to make
very
sure,
safe.
Right.
Everyone in that, and we had to wait for like 30, 45 minutes. Everyone kept thinking, I'm sure they were like, why the f- is she going into
this,
that bathroom they
were
over
like,
and
this
over?
Cokehead, right.
Yeah.
Just thinking
that. Or God, she's nervous. Like, what is she doing in there? Right. Anyway, I thank God I made it through the audition, but I wasn't even thinking about like anything else other than just keep it clamped. Just, like, don't.
Just clench it. Just
please don't, like.
Keep it puckered.
So do you.
Don't diarrhea on this lovely man's white
Do you go
couch.
To, back to work?
And then I go back. Yes, then I have to go back
do
to work.
Do you say anything when you go back to work?
Yeah, I told the producers what happened. They thought it was hilarious. I was like, I pretty much just shit my pants at a network test.
Not for the reasons
that you think. And they were like, oh my God, we're so sorry. But oh my God, that's hilarious.
Do you get Imodium?
By that point, it was done. It was kind of like drinking like an entire pot of coffee.
Right.
You know, and then your body's just like, hello.
Wow.
And then it was pretty much done.
Yeah, it's...
You guys.
Thank
I learned my
God.
Lesson there.
All right, quick. I just want to fire off a few things.
Okay, great.
Worst date ever. Any?
Worst date ever? I went on an accidental date one time that I didn't know was a date until we were like almost done.
What do you mean?
I was with a group of friends or whatever, and you know, there's this guy that I'd seen a bunch, and they had all gone out to this really great new restaurant, and I was like, oh yeah, I've been wanting to go there, and so you know, this guy started mentions to me, he's like, oh, you know, yeah, we should go sometime, like, you know, and have dinner. He's like, I'm really good friends with the executive chef, like I know him really well, and you know, he'll put together something. I was like, oh yeah, that'd be great. So then I see him like later in the week, and this was somebody I kind of, you know, talked to every once in a while, but never like had gone out on a date with. And he was like, hey, do you want to go you know, go to dinner you know, this place on Friday or Tuesday, whatever time. I was like, yeah, that'd be great. Now I'm thinking it's like a gonna be a group of us, because right. that was what had gone happened the last time that he was referring to. So I had like in my head it was like a group thing, like hang out, cool. Right. And this was like a nice restaurant. So we get there and I was like, oh, hey,
where is everyone?
And he was like, why would I bring other people like to our dinner? And I was like, why would you? Of course not. And then I'm like, oh shit. So because I had like just started dating somebody else at the time and was actually going to see them like play somewhere after this dinner. I thought this was like just a dinner thing, like friends.
Oh, God.
So I was actually going on a date after this.
So now you're cheating and you didn't even know.
Right. And exactly. I didn't even know it. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm sitting there and he knows the executive chef really well because he's like tattooed him for years. So he's like,
sure.
I'm going to just have him bring out his tasting menu.
Oh God.
It's like a 14 course tasting menu. Of,
oh
like,
no.
The best things ever. Like super, I mean, it was beautiful.
He's really hoping for a kiss at the end of this.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, so he gets up to go to the bathroom and I text one of my best friends and I'm like, oh my God, dude, I'm on a fucking date and I didn't know it. Like I thought this was a group thing, whatever. And this was before like you could, but like when text messages would just pop up and whatever was there, like you just saw,
oh.
You know what I mean? It was like before you could like hide shit. So as he comes back to the table, I'm like digging for something in my purse and up it pops and is like, oh shit, you're on a date? Like I can't even, like, and it was, I mean, I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was basically like whatever. And he like kind of glanced down. He was like, oh, So you didn't know? And I was like, oh my God, it's just so awkward.
Oh, awkward. No.
So we made it through the rest of dinner and it was really like lovely and pleasant. And then we're like walking out and he like pays for my valet.
Oh God.
And like, I'm getting into my car and he goes in like kind of for a kiss. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I think I totally misread what this is supposed to be. And I am actually already seeing someone. I'm actually going to see them right now. And this feels really awkward and I'm really sorry. And he was like, oh, no, it's fine. It's, yeah, okay. All right, I'll see you later. And I was just like, oh,
no. Did you ever see him again?
Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah, I still, yeah.
You still see him?
You still see him?
Yeah.
Oh, you're friends now.
He's friends with yeah. my fiance. He knows him. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
Does this story come up at all?
Never. No. I mean, Justin knows about it. I was, because okay, Justin was like, tell me he's going to go.
Did you want to tell
like,
the story?
Let me tell you. And he was like, oh, but it's like, we never, like, I went and saw him the other day and whatever, we were all there. And
what happens
like, hey.
When you pass by the restaurant?
The restaurant's not there anymore.
Okay.
So
good,
it's fine. Yeah. The restaurant's not there anymore.
Meanwhile, he has a full tattoo of your face on his back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just pining away.
Yeah,
over you.
It was. I was like, oh, that was. Oops.
Oh
yeah.
God, that is the worst. That's actually happened to me twice.
Yeah, but you put yourself in those situations on purpose.
Excuse
like,
me.
You're
what
aware.
Are you talking?
You're aware.
I am not aware.
Don't let this little girl fool you.
The one time it was a mutual friend of ours. Number one, and I thought we were going on a group thing, and then all of a sudden it turned out it was just me when we had specifically talked about it being a group acting class thing. And then we were suddenly on a date. And the second time, this one was really sneaky, it was the head of development at this company. And I was under the assumption we were going to talk about my project over drinks.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it ended up being a date. Now, that one really annoyed me. I did go on a second date with that guy, which is stupid.
Wait.
You did go on a second date? I told you.
You whore.
Well,
whore,
at that point, I was like, well, maybe I need to just see if there is something here. And then I was like, no, there's nothing here.
So you stayed friends
with
this person?
What happened with the project is the important
thing. I know.
Thing.
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
You stayed friends with this person then. That's.
I mean, but,
did you
yeah,
meet Justin
like,
through him?
No. Okay. It was just sort of a mutual thing.
That's random.
Yeah. No, we all were like friends, like because Justin and I actually originally dated like probably 9 years ago.
Oh right, I forgot.
Yeah,
that.
We had originally dated then, and like just super casually got out maybe like 3 or 4 times, but had been friends and remained friendly. Like you know, I would see him now and then over the past few years, and then you know about 4 years ago started dating.
Oh my God!
Now, are you planning the wedding now?
I haven't planned anything.
Okay, so there's nothing set.
Hello, can she just learn to walk again first?
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, how am
like,
I going to walk down the aisle a lot? Yeah. Just walking right
Reel
now.
Reel it, honey. Be
I'm
original.
Literally, I'm like, oh my God, what
you
if I limp?
One of those,
I might be like permanently limpy.
One of those, the
scooters.
The scooters. Yeah.
She did go to Costco and was able to like.
I got the.
She got her thing. Free samples. Who is
it?
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't Costco. It was Ralph's.
Oh, okay. With the
Costco,
motorized
I haven't done yet, but I do want. We need to do that this week, and I'm like, oh, I want to go on a weekend where we can hit up the
samples
in the little motorized fucking cart. It's gonna be amazing. But I did.
So
we went to Ralph's. My first outing out of the house was me on the little motorized scooter at the grocery store. And
see,
it died on me
talking.
In the middle of an aisle, and I right. couldn't get it to start.
Of course.
I couldn't. I was like, are you fucking for real? Like, what am I supposed to end? Justin's dying laughing.
Oh, God.
He was, and just, yeah. When I limp along anywhere, he like hums this like little pirate ditty as I'm going along.
Real quick, Steven, any shit stories?
I'm with Jody on this one. I've never,
right?
I don't even
on,
go to the bathroom
Steven.
In a public place.
I'm like,
I wait till I get home. I will leave work
I don't
early.
Have a problem.
Right?
Like, yeah.
No, I can't do it. I'm lucky in that way.
I'll go in grocery stores.
No.
Listen, my
what is
immune
wrong
system
with you?
Is high because of this, you know, the bacteria that I've probably collected from these bathrooms. I'm not kidding.
And the bacteria that everyone around you has collected from you.
I haven't had the flu or the stomach virus in years, so that should show you something.
Because you keep shitting in public restrooms.
But you know what? Neither have I.
Whatever. You don't leave the house, you.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I do too. I mean, not in the past few weeks, but.
Okay, worst. What's another good worst? Worst. Okay, how about like a worst, like it, like as an actor, right?
Right.
Acting with someone else, your worst scene partner.
Okay,
or
I'll give. I don't know that it was the worst, but a rather interesting mix of things. I was in a giant vat of pretend tomato soup, holding a baby with seven puppies also in the soup.
Selling.
Lube. No, it was. That's what it felt like, though. It was like this disgusting gelatinous stuff.
Ew.
That they sort of stained like red. And I was in it in like a tube top and boy shorts holding onto a baby while trying to not let the baby slip out of my hands in and submerge into said.
What
goo.
Show is that?
Fuller House.
Oh my
there
God.
There has to be
We're
laws.
This
right?
far away from like a Disney show. They just, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I had to one time ride a donkey. It was a commercial audition for
Morocco.
No, for Carl's Jr. / Hardee's for their new breakfast burrito.
Right.
And it was for the Spanish Latin stations.
Right.
So at the callback, he's like the.
They weren't using the big boobed girl to like eating the hamburger.
No, they.
Or was that you on the donkey?
No.
The, okay.
They also were shooting a. Another commercial simultaneously with a hot Italian model or
right.
Italian whatever sandwich
right.
or whatever. So the director at the callback goes, "Have you ever ridden a donkey?"
And you're like, what do you mean by that?
And I was like, and as every actor knows, you just say, yeah, of course.
Of course. So many times.
They're
right.
Like, okay. They had it set up like a stool, and then like you had to straddle the stool and like, you know, ride the burro, right?
Okay.
Ride the burro stool. Right,
it was for the breakfast burrito.
Got
right?
it.
Burro burrito. So it was a baby burro.
I find this a little racist, but whatever.
Well, that's Carl's Jr. So I booked the job, and they fly me to Mexico City to shoot the commercial. The first day I land, they're like, we want to do wardrobe, and we want to camera test the burro.
Burro test.
So I was like, okay. So I
oh
go,
God.
They take
and you've
me.
Never
I've
ridden.
Never ridden a burro in my life.
Oh
so
my God.
They take me up this cobblestone road where there's like four burritos, like these baby burros that they.
Is that what they're called? Burritos?
They're burritos, yeah. Like little burros, right?
Can they hold
I get burrito, but I just.
Yeah, they can hold my weight. They're like, you know.
Oh, okay.
Like, my feet were like maybe that far oh,
okay.
from the ground, but
I was thinking like those like mini ponies.
So they bring,
no,
the,
like
they bring the camera
no,
guy,
yeah.
they bring the camera guy and the camera and the DP, and then they put me on this burro, and then they're like, and I'm like, I'm like going down a
what?
Hill on
oh
a cobblestone, and I'm freaking out. They're like, you know, turn them this way. I was like, I can't turn them. They're like, we thought you were. I was like, I've never ridden a burro in my life, right? They're like, what? I go, I can't. And I've never done it.
Pissed.
At that point, they liked me so much because I was funny that they were like, whatever. So they made it work. So we picked the burro that they thought would work the best. They take me to the
cutest one.
Right. They take me to downtown. This is the next day we're shooting. They take me to downtown Mexico City, like the newer area where I call the skyrise, like really
right?
nice area. And like there's cars pulling up and parking at a meter. And I'm taking my burro and I'm parking at the meter with my burro and tying him up.
Mm-hmm.
The camera is set. Everything is set, like camera left, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're all set, and the burro wants to go camera right. He refused to go in their direction. So, like, hours and hours of shooting, and now they're getting pissed because I cannot guide this burro to go where they want. So then they decide, they're like, okay, we'll just switch everything over.
Oh, no.
So they switch everything to the other side, and then the burro's like, fucking wants to go the other way. It was a disaster. Finally, thank God they got the shots that they wanted. I've never seen the commercial. But
did it run?
It ran.
You got paid
for it. We had a burro on an episode of Full House.
You know they're stubborn.
That used to get a hard on every time John Stamos would walk in the room.
Well,
I'm not kidding.
I don't know if you've listened to Howard Stern, but so does Howard Stern.
We called him Peppermill, and it just would fall out every time John.
Why would you have a burro just for one episode or for?
Because it's Full House. Because we do know. Why do we have chickens in Bruno and
vats of chicken soup?
Yeah,
or in tomato soup.
How many episodes are you guys doing?
This season we're doing 18.
Wow.
And do you know when you air? When you premiere?
Mm-mm.
Not yet.
And you do full like 3 or 4 day work week.
4 day.
4 day.
4 day work weeks. Yep.
It's great.
So it's lovely. Yeah. We get, you know, nice little 3-day weekend. And
are you doing the 3 weeks on, 1 week off?
Mm-hmm. And then we're splitting the season into like kind of 9 and 9, and we'll have like a 2-week break in the middle.
So. Got it.
So maybe
I'll probably
vacation.
Be having my surgery over those 2 weeks so that I can recuperate and be back.
Start the. So when you start, you won't be able to put any weight on.
No, I will be a houseplant the first episode, trying to just play. And I don't know that they've. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those things where I like read the script and I go, yeah, this I can't do. That I can't do. They know I can't walk on it, but I don't know if they're quite. Taking into consideration that means I can't enter or exit a scene.
You basically have to be stationary behind the kitchen counter.
Behind the kitchen counter, sitting at the table, doing anything like that. Like, and that's it. And I can't move from there. So that's the first week. And then the second week, I think they might.
They're going to put you on a track. And you're going to be running like a track the second week. Mm-hmm. You'll be like a runner on a track.
She'll be riding a burro.
She'll be walking dogs.
Yeah.
All right. Who from the cast sent you flowers? Or cards. And
everybody. And Dave Coulier and Jeff Franklin. Jeff is the creator of the show. Dave and his wife and Jeff came over one night and brought Thai food. And
oh, that's nice.
Brought dinner over. And Keo, my dance partner from Dance with the Stars, has come over like 3 or 4 times. I'm super close to him. Yeah, everybody. Like, I've actually had a lot of friends and a lot of people come through and send flowers and send food or, you know, all
Sparkle.
Kinds of stuff. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Send flowers to Justin.
Beverly and I send flowers to Justin.
What?
This bitch don't need more flowers. You know how many people can we send in our flowers?
They sent flowers to him because they said it's keeping me still must not be easy. So,
hey, the caretakers never get recognized. Right? And we just thought,
hi, hello.
It would be funny
who
to send it
to him.
Who
took care of you? While you're in the hospital.
Certainly not you. I believe that was my nurse.
No, that's not true.
You know, he broke into my birth and wouldn't leave.
Nice.
And then put it in, like, videotaped it all on his iPhone. Not actually my birth, but my water breaking and me walking around trying to, like, do squats and, like, try to get the baby
going.
Well,
yeah, but you know what? Those are the things that, like, one day you're going to be, like, really happy that you
have. One day.
The best is her, because she was insistent that she was going to have all natural.
I was trying.
Dude, she's trying, poor thing. She's still upset about it. You can tell. She's like, I was trying.
No.
I said to her, Christine, I go, listen, there's no way you're going to get the epidural. You need to find out when it's the very last moment to get that fucking epidural.
Yeah, because once you cross that line and you can't get it.
I'm telling you. She's like, no, I'm gonna do it. She's all, water breaks, the whole bit. She's like, you know, that was a whole thing. Brandon, her husband, goes to go feed the dogs and stuff.
We didn't know we were getting admitted, so I all of a sudden was just like I was in the hospital and like.
Well, yeah,
there.
She wasn't.
So
she had not planned.
He had
she
to go do.
She
stuff.
Wasn't emotionally prepared to have the baby that day.
No.
Like, and Christine,
I don't think you ever are.
I know, like, but Christine, you have to understand, Christine's a planner. Like, she's got she's OCD. Like,
oh, I get it. I'm same way.
Yeah. OCD.
Yeah, you are.
Harsh.
Yeah, you are.
I'm super. Yeah, I'm.
She's like, it's got to be. She wants it to be, you know, so she's expecting like this perfect birth and like it's going to be this beautiful moment, which it was. It was
terrifying.
It was scary. You know. So next thing you know, I hear her like moaning and like, and I look at her. Yeah. I go, are you ready for the epidural yet? She goes, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And she's like 30 minutes later, I'm like, Christine. And she's like, I'll take the epidural. And then she balls out and cries. She goes, I thought I could do it. She was so upset couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I was so upset. But you know, the thing is, it wouldn't have mattered because my body just wasn't cooperating, unbeknownst to me. My cervix wouldn't open.
It wouldn't open.
So
oh God,
even though
yeah.
I was going through all these contractions, like
that
minute
was
after minute
why
after
I
minute,
was in labor for 2 days.
Yeah.
Nothing had, like, nothing
but then
happened.
My doctor basically manually opened it with his hand the next morning, which my husband equated to me, like, he was like, he really put his back into it. Yeah, so just imagine that visual. But had I not had the epidural, he would have never been able to do that. And then then the baby came out. So we were lucky in that regard.
Yeah, it was quite an event.
But this guy, they wouldn't let me eat anything because they thought I was going to have a C-section.
Right.
And this this bitch over here is eating like a turkey sandwich in my face.
Yeah. He's like, are you gonna have? I would have thrown some shit. Like people, somebody snacks. Came in my room with like ice chips, and I was like, get the fuck out, because like they wouldn't give me any. I was like, get out now.
Me and Brandon pretty much had like a cheese plate. They and we did. Had like we had
right in front of me.
That I wanted. The only thing.
Well, we were there too, by the way, for hours, and we were starving.
You ate all my labor snacks. I went through my bag.
Yeah, I made sure I had a chicken pot pie. That was what I craved all throughout my pregnancy with Zoe, and that was what I wanted right after. I was like, I just want a gigantic chicken pot pie from Polly's.
Does she like chicken pot pies?
I don't know. I don't make them very often now because they're so bad for you that I like. I sort of don't eat them.
I love chicken pot pie.
But they're the best things. The Marie Callender's, the ones in the little green box.
I make it homemade.
Oh. Why didn't you bring one today?
You could have brought one for Mr. I would have brought
you a Mr. Pot Pie.
Yeah, I mean, and mine is like Southern, like it's country.
You know, winter belly.
It's a hillbilly pie.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, that would
don't let this Middle Eastern fool you.
Right?
I got some country.
The Moroccan pot pie? Yeah.
Moroccan pot pie, exactly. Well, Jody, I see your fiance lingering outside.
So oh, no, he's fine. He's out in the back office. He and our friend are back there eating lunch.
Is it the friend that you went to date on?
No.
Oh.
No.
We're so excited.
No.
Can we get him in here to tell his story?
No, it's not.
Thank you so much for sharing some of the worst things that have ever happened to you in your life.
Thank you for coming and enjoying one of the worst things that has ever happened to me with my
broken foot.
We have
to get a picture of it for visual.
Right?
Well, hopefully it was a little bit cathartic.
I love laughing about things that are really, truly tragic in my life. There's been so many. No, there hasn't really. My life's been actually pretty okay. But, you know, the whole time plus tragedy equals comedy thing.
That's right.
What I live by. Yeah. I mean, even when I broke this, I was literally laying in the middle of the grass cracking jokes. And they were like, well, at least it hasn't taken your funny away. And I was like, you'd have to kill me for that. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I was hitting on the fireman and just, yeah, I was being inappropriate.
Oh, I hit on my nurse when I broke my arm.
Right?
Yeah. She gave me those first drugs, and apparently I asked her if she wanted to run away with me.
I told the doctor, and I said it dead serious, the first doctor that came out was this female. I forget, Christine was her first name. And I said, Christine, I was like, don't fuck this up. And she just looked at me because I was I like said it dead serious. She was like, I'm a doctor. I mean, I'm not. And I was like, don't fuck this up. She was just like, I was like, I'm just kidding. You're gonna be fine.
No, I was
really like kind of horrified because I was like,
I'm the same way. I threatened the doctor.
But I was kidding. I just wanted to see if she would freak out if I was like,
no,
don't fuck this.
That's exactly when I had my LASIK surgery. Right, I swear to God, right before I said, I'm gonna sign this paper, and I had my telephone on record. But I'm recording this right now. If I'm blind or you fuck this up, I will find someone who can see to kill you. Do you understand me? All right. Thanks for coming, Jody.
My pleasure. Anytime. Actually, thank you for coming.
Exactly. Anytime. Remember to catch Jody on season 3 of Netflix's Fuller House. And of course, every Wednesday night on Pop TV with me on Hollywood Darlings at 8 p.m. Bye. You can find Jody Sweetin on Instagram at Jody Sweetin, JodieSweetin, and on Twitter at Jody Tweetin.
Jody Tweetin on Twitter.
Isn't that cute?
It's adorable.
She came up with that.
Is she verified?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's got a lot of followers.
Cool.